I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The right song for today. Congratulations, Nick Sirianni. Contract extension from the Philadelphia Eagles. Well earned, well deserved. And as a born again Sirianni guy, I could say that with conviction. He earned it. Super Bowl champ. We wait for the details, but we know this. Nick Sirianni is going to be the Eagles coach for years to come. New contract today. And of course, we also react to the Jose Alvarado suspension, 80 games, including ineligibility for the postseason. What should they do now? 215-592-9494. Hugh, we'll get back to the phones in a second, but we do have some NBA draft rumors. We're about a month and five days away from the NBA draft, and we have a mock draft.
What you got?
Over at ESPN, because the combine was last week, right? So the combine, and then the kids worked out and all
that.
Yeah, the
kids, yeah.
So you get some rumors, you get some feel on what teams are thinking. So here, and this one's going to be easy because the Sixers are at number three. I'll just go through the first couple picks into the Sixers. Number one, Cooper Flagg, obviously, to the Mavericks. Number two, Dylan Harper to the San Antonio Spurs. All that's expected. Number three. Now, I'm going to tell you who they pick, but really it's what is in the conversation that is more important than who they pick.
Mm-hmm.
So the pick at ESPN's latest mock draft is Ace Bailey, the small forward out of Rutgers, mm-hmm. the guy that Elliott is comparing to Kevin Durant.
KD.
Yeah, I don't see it, but all right. So he's a freshman who's got some scoring ability. And it says this is where the draft gets interesting. And it says the Sixers are unsurprisingly signaling they're looking at a wide group of prospects, including Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, Con Knipple, Trey Johnson. Now that's who you're going with based on name. But this caught my attention, all right, beyond who they might pick. Quote, some teams expect the Sixers to be active in trade conversations with names such as Kevin Durant and Lauri Markkanen as potential targets in packages that could include Paul George and the number three pick. Hugh Douglas, your reaction if Daryl Morey trades the number three pick and Paul George to acquire Kevin Durant?
Seriously? Kevin Durant can still play. I mean, I give him that. But we just need to go ahead and we just need to reset this thing, man. I mean, no. What are we going to do? We're going to squint our eyes and hope to make it to the playoffs next year when we've seen the model? Indiana and the Knicks are getting ready to go to the championship. One, I'm going. With a bunch of young guys. You get where I'm going with this, right?
Oh, I do.
You know, who was it? Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad out there acting a whole donkey. Because they put together a team, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, you know, they sprinkle some free agents in there. But for the most part, homegrown guys. They've done that. That's the new wave in the NBA. What do we hope to get by getting Kevin Durant here? Sell a few tickets. Going to definitely sell some tickets. He's going to put some butts in the seats. But what's the end game? Because the last time I checked, Daryl Morey talked about championships, if I'm not mistaken, right? When he talked about squinting really, really hard to see how this team is going to do, he was talking about we were formidable enough to be a problem if he got in the playoffs, correct?
Yep.
So what are we doing? Because we've seen the big three is cool, the big two, whatever, to have stars.
It's over.
But that era is done.
It's about depth.
We're talking about trying to squint to get to the playoffs with an older Kevin Durant, and you're talking about trading Paul George. What about Joel Embiid?
So this would make more sense if Embiid was the player he was 2 years ago, right? Then you have all right, that version of Embiid and Durant can still play. This makes no sense right now. You mentioned the youth, right? With the final four teams in the NBA with the Knicks and the Pacers and the Thunder and the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
All right. So I just looked at the four starting fives, right? So the 20 players that played the most minutes on those four teams, right? 20 players, five for each of the four teams left. Guess how many players of those 20 were 30 or over this season?
Two.
Three total out of the 20 starters for the four teams. And the oldest guy that's a starting player on one of the final four teams was 32 this year. The oldest. There was a 32-year-old, two 30-year-olds, and everybody else to start on these four teams is in their 20s. Kevin Durant's going to be 37 years old in September.
The simple fact, like this is the problem. And I know, you know, I was hard on Daryl Morey last week. And, you know, basketball is not my thing. But
you were pretty hard on him.
And I'm going to stay. I'm going to make it even worse because this here's the thing. The fact that this is even a conversation, the fact that somebody in the front office is even thinking about that kind of, you know, solidifies how I felt about this organization and what they were going to do with the third pick.
They haven't done it yet.
No, but the fact that you're thinking about doing it, the fact that this story is out there, the fact that before we even did this, what'd you say, Kyle? Milwaukee's working out players?
Yeah, they're working out top 8 picks.
They don't even have a pick?
Well, it's because they're going to trade Giannis.
No, but what my point is this. Who do you think they're going to try to trade him? They're going to try to get up in the top 5, you would think.
They're going to try to get the Sixers pick.
Okay.
Or the Spurs,
okay, if it's Giannis, that's something different, though.
Well, Giannis is still only around 30. He's got years to go. Durant's 37.
If it's KD, though. I mean, KD will be fun for Twitter beef.
Well, sure he will.
He would be fun for that, but no, that's not what I'm trying to do.
The Twitter beef would be good. He'd be coming after WIP all hours of the day. But from a basketball perspective, no. The Sixers have a chance to take an all-star player. The number 3 pick in the last 15 years has delivered star players. What are we doing trading it for 37-year-old Kevin Durant?
Yeah, that right there, man, tells you everything you need to know.
Oh, my God.
Say they take Ace Bailey.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like the timeline for him to become a good, contributing, everyday starting player.
It doesn't fit.
It's like 3 years. It doesn't fit with Maxey. It's probably not going to fit with McCain.
Well, it could fit with Maxey.
Maybe.
Maxey's only 25.
But then we're talking about another contract for some of these guys. Are we not? So it just feels like the Sixers are stuck right now in the Joel Embiid business.
I agree.
So I don't know if it's as crazy as you guys are making it up.
For KD?
37?
So what are we doing?
If you do it, you're just look, the Sixers are screwed, okay? Maybe they just have one little Hail Mary that Joel Embiid is back to his old self, that Kevin Durant can be a 27-point-per-game player, which he still is, even at this age. You get McCain back healthy. You have Maxey.
You're out of the Paul George contract. You're talking yourself right into it.
Oh, man, baby.
You know what I think about now when I think of KD? And I've heard this, and this is not my personal, because I'm like everybody else. I ain't watch a whole lot of NBA this year. But I think Coach Killer. I'm thinking Coach Killer.
Oh, he is.
Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
But I'm not, like, married to Nick Nurse, where, like, God forbid, he gets fired.
When was the last time Kevin Durant even got past the second round? It's been, 6 years.
You say, okay, we get Kevin Durant, we can fire Nick Nurse.
That point, it's like, whatever, we're decimating this whole thing anyway.
Okay, I understand that. But in the process, we're giving away the number 3 pick. This pick could be the Sixers' tickets to figuring this thing out 5 years from now.
This is the reality of the situation we're in, Kyle. And I understand where you're coming from because you want to try to salvage as much of the process as you possibly can. It's a wrap. It's a wrap, kid.
It's a wrap. I understand.
It's time to, what they say, rip the Band-Aid off. And let's just move on.
The drop-off from Cooper Flagg to these next guys.
It's big.
It's colossal.
Yeah, I know.
It is, but you know what we need to do? And this is the only fix that we have. Get a coach that's in it for the long haul.
You're firing Nurse?
No. I think Nurse is the right coach.
Nurse.
Let me say that.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EAR-POD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get these young guys. Let Coach Nurse do his thing. Let him develop these young players, man, and just be as – this is why I need to be the PR guy.
No,
just
stop,
be
stop,
honest
stop,
and truthful as you possibly can. Get out there and say, hey, we're going to stink.
I think it's 50-50 the third pick in the draft turns into something good for them. 50-50.
Yeah, I give you that.
I think it's less than 50-50. Kevin Durant at age 37 arrives here and saves the day. Last 3 years, you mentioned the coach thing. Ready for this? 2023, Suns fire Monty Williams. 2024, Suns fire Frank Vogel. 2025, Suns fire Mike Budenholzer. Three straight years.
Mike Boone, yeah.
Yeah, Budenholzer. And he's won a championship in Milwaukee. These guys aren't bums. Vogel won in L.A. These guys are not bums. I'm out on the Kevin Durant thing. No thanks for the third pick. I mean, I'd love to dump Paul George, but I'm not giving up the number three pick. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react to all this. Black Gritty is up on WIB.
Black Gritty!
So many things. Let me long talk for a second. So first of all, Joe, we had to coordinate our guy Nick Sirianni getting his contract because you have to stand out with me and hold the sign up. We had to get some money back signs. You did agree to that. If you say you're on Nick Sirianni's side still, we got to coordinate that.
Okay, let's do it. I'm in.
Secondly, Joe, don't you have a family?
Yes.
Don't you love your family?
Of course.
Then why were you risking your life in a flash flood with floaties on, doing the radio show with electrical wires running all through the water, you just sitting there in the midst of it? What are you thinking, bro? You got a family.
Well, all right, a couple things. One, the show must go on. But two, total transparency, I don't think I realized in the moment how bad the flood was getting because my back was to it. I thought Hugh was just being scaredy cat. But instead,
He took pictures of electrical wire, and I know how y'all do the wires over there. Shout out to the sisters every time y'all best, but sometimes duct tape ain't waterproof. Bro.
Yeah,
saying, you got lines running all through there.
I didn't realize the gravity of the situation. I really didn't.
Yeah, you put your family at risk, dog. Take care of yourself. And Hugh, yes. You got out of the way and forgot to move your truck out the flood zone. That's what happened to you.
Is that what? What it was?
Yeah, you know, floaties on the truck. Now your truck out here flooded in the flood.
Like, she okay. Together. She just had, you know. Okay. It was just a little minor mishap, man. I just got
All right.
You know,
Black Beauty still on ride.
Yeah,
right,
she still rides. She still rides.
Secondly, you, my heart's with you, bro. I'm thinking about you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
So let me get to all this stuff that's going on. Alvarado, why you do this to me? I got $1 billion on one of the World Series this year. And if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. How come the Patriots get to have their championship? How come Houston got to keep, like, can I get them back for the postseason? They took my dog for the postseason. It hurts my heart. I'm so angry because I was on the same weight product that he's on. And I can tell you right now, it ain't helped me lose no weight. So I know how come he got caught. I ain't lost a single pound. So I know he out here lying. And the fact that he ran off like that is some punk Stewie McDoo stuff. And dumb pussy got to get to work. You know what I mean? You got this young kid coming up here throwing lightning at a bottle. We got to make a whole lot of moves to get where we need to be right now. And Hugh. I know that we are the tan persuasion, but you don't get paid for less days of work, brother. I don't care how you try to spin it. You trying to get a raise for less work. Hey, you know what? I need you to come in on weekends, and I'm going to double your pay, and you only got to do two radio shows.
But see, Black Gritty.
That's
like,
a good point.
Like, see, I think you're missing the point. It's not like I'm getting paid to go to the bullpen. I'm still a starter, but I'm helping you out right now. So in order to help you out, I need to get paid like the starter that I'm going to be when I hit free agency. Well, but in this case, if you give me some more money.
I hear you.
Yeah, you.
Black
yeah,
is
yeah,
in my
yeah.
name, but you don't get paid for your days off.
No, I'm just saying. You got to give me. If you want me to go to bullpen, you got to give me some more
bread. No, it's a good point. You want to pay him more money for less innings. This is a real Hugh Douglas
math
over here.
No, because it's like, because you asked me to do you a solid.
I asked you to pitch. You're a pitcher.
Yeah, that's a solid.
Somebody need to talk to this man. This is not the time to fight for reparations. This is not the time to fight for reparations.
I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. Right, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight, man. Might not make sense to you, but it makes sense to me.
I still need to push. And I actually like the reseeding because it makes people fight more to the end of the season. I mean, you ain't going to rest people. You're only going to move to 18 games. And the higher-up teams, you know, they rest people in the last 2 weeks of the season or they have these horrible games you play at the end of the season. Now these games are going to matter more. And you have to play them out. You can't just hide at the end of the season. You got to play all the way through because you want that real top seed. So I like the reseeding. I mean, I wish they just did it in all sports, but they ain't going to, so it is what it is. But the tush push will live. Trust you me. I can't live without it. And our coach got this money. We live large on the hog. And, it is what it is. And, if you get Kevin Durant here, I will burn down the Xfinity Live Center myself. I will go to jail for it. I promise you, I will go to jail. LeBron James is the king. LeBron, Steph, all the greats that you think of are over 35 years old, ain't even sniffed a conference championship in the last 3 years. You want to bring that dude over here? You know what they need to do? Get Paul George to retire and take his money off the books. Like, bro, you're never getting another contract. Don't do your podcast pee, but just go retire so at least I can take that money off the books. That's how we can springboard into doing something. But if you give this third pick and you don't give me something, oh, I'm burning everything down. I promise you that. I talk to y'all.
Black Gritty, we'll talk soon. It really would be the biggest slap in our face if Daryl Morey had to attach the number 3 pick to get off the Paul George contract. He just signed him a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, they are in a bad way. And the simple fact, this plays into all my fears when I said I don't trust this regime as far as what they want to do. And I know this is all speculation, but still, to throw that out there is ridiculous.
I think that would be, Daryl doing that would be admitting that he made a mistake with the Paul George thing, which is what we want him to do, kind of, don't we?
Well, sure, but to attach them. He's attaching his best asset to get off of a mistake
I understand
from
that
last
it's ugly,
summer.
But it's different than being stubborn and doubling down on it. Is it not?
This is a bad spot to be in.
We want this.
We want this team just to be relevant so bad. We're willing to do damn near anything just to make it happen.
I think the point that you were making about the youth in the NBA, they're not winning with whatever this is with Embiid and a 37-year-old. It's not going to happen, man.
But they're also probably not winning with or because of Ace Bailey.
Well, we're not, but Kyle, we're not winning anytime soon, regardless. So we might as well try to build this thing the right way. I wouldn't say the right way, but just try to build it with the youth movement.
I agree with you.
But they have Embiid. Like they're not really going to be able to move off of the Embiid.
Can we force him into retirement? I want to try that.
No, yeah. I was reading somewhere. If he does this experimental thing and everything, they got to give him time to try to come back because he's trying to play. So he can't just up and retire. You got to at least try to play.
Their best chance might be Maxey, McCain, Grimes. You have youth there.
And this third pick.
Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid.
Kevin Durant. Man, listen.
All right. More conference finals games or Twitter beefs with WIP hosts? What do you think Durant would do here in Philadelphia?
Twitter beefs.
Yeah, Twitter beefs.
Yeah, Twitter beefs.
But that's, look.
Because he would be coming at our neck.
At this point, I've almost given up on the Sixers, so yeah. I'd welcome that. That'd be fun.
Speaking of Twitter beef, did you see Matt Strom reply to Devin's tweet about Orion Kirkland? You see this, Hugh?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
So yesterday during the game, Devin tweeted that we need to have an honest conversation about Orion Kirkland. Which she's right. I mean, Kirkering has not pitched well this season. He's walked a ton of batters.
And she covers the team.
Yeah. And no. I think she's right. We should have an honest conversation. He hasn't been good. I mean, that's my honesty about him. I thought he'd be better this year. So Matt Strom replied, please enlighten me.
Could somebody do that, please? Go enlighten him?
Go enlighten Matt Strom? I could do it right now. Yeah. Kirkering hasn't been good enough.
Jillia responds.
This is pretty simple.
Are you waiting for me to respond?
I'm just wondering what you think.
I have thoughts, but I'm going to keep it to myself.
Hold on.
You're a talk show host.
I just feel like it's more to it than what's on the surface. How many other times has he responded to any one of Devin's quippy tweets?
I don't know. This is the first one I've seen.
It is that time of year.
What?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I mean, read between the lines.
Well, so
read between the lines.
Who would be the first one to get in Twitter beef with Durant here?
Probably me.
Spike.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but yeah, Spike, because they tweet more. I don't really tweet a whole lot about basketball.
Though,
but I would be like
maybe Elliot.
Well, yeah,
I
maybe
feel like
Elliot.
Durant would respond to Elliot. Elliot might.
So
not.
Here's what I could see: Spike or Elliot tweet something, Durant responds. I could see a clip of on one of the shows here, like to camera eye, and he responds.
Sure,
to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the direct tweet back and forth.
Man, come on, that would be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah, he goes at it because he had beef with Acho a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he doesn't like when someone talks about basketball didn't play the game.
Yeah, but guess what?
So he'll love WIP because we got a lot of NBA players.
We all got an opinion. He talks about football. He ain't played football to my knowledge.
No, he's
he
a baby. Play. I mean, he's a sensitive baby.
He's a huge baby. Yeah. He's also one of the least important superstars in NBA history.
Yep.
His whole career.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Sure he is. He's a great player. But yeah. Importance, his whole career is because he teamed up with Steph Curry.
You could go out there and end up in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Nah.
It is the easiest one to get.
No. We about to tell that lie.
Well, maybe not you.
We about to tell that lie.
Like, yeah,
I'm like 6'1".
Maybe not you.
What am I doing? Running the point?
Sure. You're a distraction out there.
I thought they list you at 6'2".
Yeah,
is that a lie,
that's
too?
That's a lie.
Wow.
I'm about 6'1".
Douglas at 5'8", playing defensive end.
Black Gritty brought up the Tush Push.
Mm-hmm. Do we have some
news? What do you say, that he thinks it'll stay?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
First of all,
just my read on it. Mm-hmm. And Ian Rappaport went on Pat McAfee show,
mm-hmm.
says his educated guess is that the NFL will indeed act against the Tush Push. I expect there will be new language against any player pushing or pulling another. I'm not sure the league wants to specifically ban this play, just the mechanism used on this play, which is kind of a joke of a line there. But
there is no way they're letting this come into the season this year. I mean, they pushed this vote back a month to convince everyone to vote their way. Plus, the season opens with the Eagles. Like, imagine if they don't vote it out, Hugh. The first game of the season is going to be tush push after tush push.
It's always a better selling point with the first game that, like, the Eagles are going to be out to avenge.
Yeah. I think it's gone, too. I do think we're about to lose it. Let's grab Ken and Cinnamon. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Hey, Ken.
So, Hugh, I believe you are man enough that you would own it if you cut it in the studio there. So if you're saying that it wasn't you, then that's what. Then I believe.
It wasn't me.
I think
it wasn't me.
I think you would own it. I think you would actually be proud of it. You would actually get.
Oh,
get
no, I would. I would listen, Ken. If I ever do fart in this room, Joe's going to know because he's going to smell it. And I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh a hearty laugh. And the YouTube people are going to be, you know, look at me like, what's wrong with him?
Well, how come you're the only one around here who keeps have these moments where there's a noise that you think is that?
It's a weird thing, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
And on the rule change, listen, I don't like anything that diminishes the importance of divisions. And a good rule of thumb is anything the NBA does, do the exact opposite if you want to stay relevant and good. So I hate this rule change, actually. It just feels NBA-ish to me. So,
it does feel NBA-ish. Yeah, it feels like because that's what makes these rivalries so good. It's why that Commanders game or the Cowboys game and the Giants game mean more, because we know how much it leads to.
And let's face it, it's just the Lions crying because they didn't feel like it was fair that they had to play the Commanders at home with the one seed and they got housed. So, you know, play better and, you know, you get to host the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
So, look, on Alvarado, I mean, so are we expected to believe that the Phillies as an organization just thought that they got so lucky that that after 2 years of declining velocity, Jose Alvarado shows up to spring training in the best shape of his life and he's gained 2 miles an hour on his fastball, and that's just luck at 30 years old? Like nobody looked at that and said, "Hey, wait a minute, what's going on?"
Kid, I mean, like I always say, read the room. Like it doesn't just. This just didn't happen all willy nilly.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, when I heard it yesterday, it all clicked into place for me immediately, and I was like, "Wait a minute!" Now, in retrospect, just hearing this, it seems obvious to me that this is what was going on. And in the steroid era, we would have like assumed that this was going on. If it was Roger Clemens or you know somebody like, we would have just assumed that that's what it was. So, you know, it's not an accident, and you know Jose Alvarado, he seems like a nice guy, but for him to just dip out like that and not even talk to his teammates about it, that's pathetic. But now that it is what it is, I actually think if you're going to keep Nick Abel up, I think you've got to keep Taiwan Walker in the bullpen. You know, because he's Rob Thompson said something a couple weeks ago when he first brought him in and he pitched, what, he struck out seven guys?
Yeah, seven in three innings.
And, you know, Rob Thompson kind of mentioned being, you know, intrigued about the possibility of him being like, you know, a really elite power, you know, late inning, high leverage guy. I just, you know, Ranger started out in the bullpen. You know, he's a starting pitcher now, but when Ranger first came up, Ranger Suarez was in the bullpen. And they kind of moved him back and forth. You know, when you're a wrong-handed pitcher in Major League Baseball who can be really, really good, and we've seen that Ranger Suarez can be really, really good, he's worth a heck of a lot more than he is as a reliever. It's not even close. So, you know, I think if you're going to bring Abel up, you've got to leave Taiwan in the bullpen and leave Ranger in rotation because he seems to have settled in and, you know, he looks more like the Ranger of, you know, April and May last
year. He does. Two good starts in a row. I mean, Saturday he hung that one pitch, but he pitched well. And Ken, we appreciate it. Yeah, Rangers pitch well. It's not, to me, it's not performance. I'm not moving him because he's not performing in the rotation. I need help in the bullpen. The Alvarado thing is a killer. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll check in with you people coming up, reacting to Jose Alvarado's suspension and what the Phillies should do. All right, we've talked some internal options today. How about external? Who could they trade for whenever these teams are ready to make some trades here? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94. WIP.
Yes, as I look around, like I ain't got nothing to read right now. It's that time of year again. It's time for me to take a break about talking about bacon, folks, and give you some grilling wisdom. It's grilling season, everybody, so you can elevate your grilling game with Hatfield marinated pork tenderloins. They're flavorful and so easy to cook. Hatfield's marinated pork tenderloins are truly a game changer. They have Tuscan herb. They have honey garlic teriyaki. They got lemon garlic. There are so many different flavors to choose from. Head to simplyhatfield.com for a retail location near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.